Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Well, my good friend and neighbor, this is Phil Nee signing off for now. We'll be back your way with some friends in the studio next hour here on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Have a great day, everyone. It's 52 degrees at 9 o'clock. News this hour is sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, enhancing the relationships with those you love, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Donald Trump's former chief of staff and retired General John Kelly says his previous boss has no concept of the rule of law or the Constitution. Kelly telling the New York Times that while in office, Trump would praise Nazi leader Adolf Hitler. Boeing announcing this morning that it lost $6 billion in the third quarter. That news coming ahead of a contract vote by its 33,000 union machinists who've been on strike for more than a month. A McDonald's menu item is being removed in several states. ABC's Lana Moise with more on why.
An E. coli outbreak linked to McDonald's Quarter Pounders is blamed for one death, and the CDC says at least 49 people have been sickened, 10 hospitalized, including a child. The outbreak reported in 10 states. Most cases, 27, are in Colorado, where an elderly person died.
The former head of Abercrombie & Fitch, Mike Jeffries, is due in court on Friday after being indicted this week on sex charges in New York. This is ABC News. Back to court today for lawyers representing former movie maker Harvey Weinstein. He's facing a retrial in New York on sex crime charges. ABC's Reagan Medji.
The trial is expected to start on November 12th, but both sides are arguing that's just not enough time to prepare. Weinstein was already facing retrial on two sex crime charges after the state's highest court overturned his 2020 convictions earlier this year. Last month, he was hit with a new assault charge. So prosecutors want the cases to be consolidated, because they have significant overlap and involve similar statutes, witnesses, expert testimony, and other evidence.
This comes after Weinstein was recently diagnosed with bone marrow cancer. Spirit and Frontier Airlines may be flying toward each other again. The Wall Street Journal says the budget airlines, which actually had a deal to merge in 2022 before JetBlue stepped in, are in talks again to get together. The JetBlue-Spirit deal was spiked after a challenge from the Justice Department. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning. This is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. As the fauna colors change to vibrant fall colors, it's a great time to add a stunning, colorful opal gemstone of jewelry to your jewelry box. Stop by Pamela's and check out our opals, or stop by the Opal Man's and compare what their opals are. In Spring Green, you have so many opal choices. From Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
The old saying goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The Bowling Alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink, the Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Call 649-7469.
The WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Buying a home with less than 20% down is possible.
High temperatures will be in the upper 50s today. It will be breezy. Northwest winds 8 to 18. Mainly clear and frosty tonight, a low of 31. Thursday morning sun gradually giving way to clouds, turning a bit breezy and a high of 64. Thursday night rain likely, ending late, a low of 45. Friday scattered morning clouds, then sunny and breezy and a high of 59. Saturday 57 with very pleasant conditions.
Tim Walz was raised on a farm in Nebraska. Kamala Harris was born to an immigrant family in Oakland. Tim Walz enlisted in the Army National Guard at 17. Kamala Harris worked at McDonald's to get through school. Together, this team will never forget where they came from and the hardworking families and Americans they're working for.
I will help families by letting you keep more of your hard-earned money.
And I'll tell you, this is personal. The middle class is where I come from. And building that middle class
will be a defining goal of my presidency. We will create what I call an opportunity economy where everyone has the chance to compete and a chance to succeed. Whether you live in a rural area, small town, or big city.
Learn more at thetrumptax.com. Paid for by voters of these 50 states. Votersofthese50states.com. Voters of these 50 states is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a 3-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical 5-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Boscobel Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
Welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio. We are here to talk about the upcoming celebration, a program recognizing the 35th anniversary of the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway Board and the Riverway. We're going to be talking about that coming up on Sunday. Executive Director Mark Kupp is here today. Also, former State Senator Dale Schultz, former Senate Majority Leader, is here to chat with us as well. Dale, 35th anniversary, and the station just celebrated 75th.
75th, and I wanted to provide a little shout out for that, because this radio station is pretty important, not only to Richland Center, but the whole area beyond the borders of Richland County. You know, all of you really work very hard. You are appreciated, and it is so vital that we have an institution that links this community together, and that's what you do. And it doesn't matter whether it's a flood or a pumpkin festival, which starts today, or, you know, anything else. It's about having a sense of community, and I really congratulate you, and I'm so grateful that I had, you know, a long run of an association and a partnership with this radio station starting back in 1982 and continuing for 32 years, and well, I even still feel a part of it, but it's just a wonderful institution. I'm so glad and grateful, and congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, you made many appearances on the air when you were in the Assembly and then later on with the Senate as well.
So. Well, and sometimes they were unscheduled, like floods.
Yes, exactly right.
I'd take the boat across to the old state. You know.
I remember that.
It is amazing.
Uh-huh. And Mark, of course, the station goes back to your early days as well, too, doesn't it?
Well, yes, I remember growing up listening to WRCO and on the farm with my grandparents on AM radio. My grandmother loved listening in the mornings, listening to the Chief Tones was one of her favorites, and
sure.
Running Bear. And I think one of the earliest memories I have was my mother listening down on Main Street, and how much was that doggy in the window? And so I grew up with this radio station, and I dearly love it. Congratulations on 75 years.
Thank you. I was just going through some history moments. We were doing some pieces for the station and found some things from 1984. And there was meetings that were being held at that point, and that was the days before the Riverway. But I know they were kind of having some meetings, kind of discussing, you know, what it should be named and all of those things. So that was back 40 years ago when they were first seeing that.
And I remember the first time I met Phil Nee was at the WRCO Christmas party, and it was in the mid-'80s. when Elizabeth and I went with Jerry and Betty Mae Cook and the Athanases, and you were the one that got the dance party going.
I was a little younger then.
Yes, our hair was a different color. Yes,
well, some of you have hair.
Yeah,
You know, if you do reminisce with history a little bit, you've got to make sure you pull out Orly Baker, too, for the crowds, you know, the fans.
I haven't found any tapes yet, but we'll keep looking there. But many and finally remember him, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was an institution.
The Boscobel State Bank. Yeah. So, Dale, your relationship with this goes way back. In fact, you and Mark, you were together at the state capitol there. He was working for you back in the day.
Yeah, I remember Mark when he was the life of the party and got the dancing going and had big aspirations. And I'm not going to get personal because it's just not fair. But you know what? I always kept telling him, you got to aim higher. You got to aim higher. And you know what? He listened. And I was just shocked the other day when I was thinking about that. He's had a huge impact here on southwestern Wisconsin. When you think about what the riverways come to mean for everybody, this is the guy who guided it. Dick Krull and I got to be the partners with Tommy Thompson and Spencer Black in negotiating something. But the guy who put it together with the board, and there are a lot of great board members, I'm sure Mark has some reminiscences about them. And I don't want to forget those wonderful folks that were on the local officials advisory board that Dick Krull was his brainchild, but was so critical in putting this together. You know, from Jim Staff to Bob Carey down the river and so many others. Reasonable, thoughtful people with vision. And I remember it was kind of controversial early on, wasn't it, Mark?
Oh, yes. I learned a lot fast.
I remember going to meetings in Spring Green and Sauk City and other places. It was pretty close to a riot. People were angry, really angry, and they felt like they were being put on. This was their backyard. They'd kept it the way it was, pristine and beautiful. And here was a Madison legislator and a bunch of folks from Madison, the DNR and the university, were going to tell them that they hadn't done a good enough job and it had to be done this way or that way. And, you know, maybe that was necessary to wake people up. But the cool hand of those local officials was really surprising. They listened carefully to people. I won't tell you that the thing passed with no opponents to the idea, but over the test, it has met the test of time. Over time, more and more people have gotten on board. I remember when people were afraid that their $600 land values were going to plummet. And look at where we are now on the riverway and the price of land. It's just remarkable. And Mark, you want to jump in here, and I've just got so many thoughts about this. I'd talk all day, but just by myself, and that wouldn't be fair.
Well, yes. Well, Dale gave me the opportunity. He opened the door for me, and he's been a mentor for me since those early days in the mid-'80s. And he said, Mark, I want you to go to these Citizens Advisory Committee. This preceded the local officials group. And I went to these meetings that were held a lot of times in Spring Green or Muscadet or Boscobel. And it was an eye-opening experience because there was a division between the local appointees to that. It was a DNR-appointed group. And then those that were from Madison. And I went back to Dale and some of the other legislators from the Valley who were largely Republican and said, this is extremely divisive, and the local people are not happy with what's being proposed. And that's what eventually led to the local officials group, which was really, it was a nonpartisan group that Senator Krull had established. And it was county, town, city, village officials only, not people from Madison at all, or from the university, or from environmental interest groups, that whoever each of those municipalities wanted to appoint, and they got to go through the proposal line by line, page by page, and said, we can live with this, we can't live with that. And that enabled Dale and Senator Krull to work with their colleagues to come up with a plan that the locals could live with. Not everyone, but the majority. And that was a key turning point to make it saleable to the majority of the population in the valley. So it took leadership. It took some real gumption on the part of those Republican legislators. And then also the willingness on the part of Representative Spencer Black and the coalition that he put together on, let's just call it the Democrat side or the environmental interest side, to be willing to sit down at the table with Dale and Dick and Governor Thompson to hammer out that compromise. And that's really the leadership that Dale provided, and as I mentioned, the others on that side, that they were willing to look at this and what is in the best interest for their constituents, and also looking to the future for the six county area and for the lower Wisconsin River Valley, and the tremendous vision for what this project could be. So kudos to Dale.
You know, Tommy Thompson deserves an awful lot of credit, because when the Democrats tried to pass this, when they controlled the whole legislature, we were only barely able to defeat the implementation of a plan that people just hated. And it was Tommy Thompson who said, look, guys, this is going to happen. You should see that now. I can backstop you for a while, but you've got to get involved. And you know what? That was a big ask, I think, at that time for us who represented this area. But we trusted him. He stood behind us. And, you know, ironically, at the end of the day, there wasn't a lot of drama. Things fell together pretty well. And the reason they did is because those local officials put together, I think, a tougher plan than the one that was coming out of Madison. I mean, they really did care about the valley. They had historically done that. They were willing to get involved and to sell that. They managed to find the real bad parts of the plan and get rid of them. And you know what? Because of their work, it was, I think, easier than a lot of people thought for Spencer Black to say yes. Now, we had a few minor adjustments at the end before the bill passed. But it was really an example of what happens in government when people listen to each other. They don't demonize each other. They work with one another, and they have a vision that's big enough to look forward into the future. And I look back 35 years, and I'm just stunned. I was out the other day. I had the good fortune to be out with my friend Jim Heyer, sturgeon fishing on the river. He's now dubbed me the king of the sand sturgeon, because I didn't get a lake sturgeon, but we had a great time out there. And, you know, in the early morning on the river, in a lot of places, because of this riverway and because of Mark and the boards he's worked with over the years, efforts, it's just pristine. And, you know, the spirit of ages past fills you. And as the fog, you know, comes and it goes, and you're listening to the river, it's just, we are very, very lucky to live in this 23rd Psalm place, and it's something we should cherish and protect with all the fervor that we have.
Probably think about your forefathers and people that went before us, you know, because they saw some of the same scenery that you're seeing these days, right?
Well, Mark does some pretty good lectures, and I've listened to him a lot, reminding people about all the folks that have touched the Riverway, particularly the indigenous communities over the years, for whom it had spiritual significance. And, you know, he's taken a personal interest of his archaeology and sort of blended it with the Riverway, which was never originally a part of the plans, but has turned out to be really a wonderful addition. It is just like some of the efforts to include eagle habitat in the Riverway that occurred later. And it means we have a world-class resource here.
It seems the eagles are more prevalent than they used to be, Mark. We're seeing a lot more of them.
It's one of the great success stories, and the fact that eagles are kind of the poster bird for success in the Riverway, and everyone loves to see the Eagles. You know, when I was growing up around here, you had to go to northern Wisconsin to maybe have a chance of seeing an eagle, and now we have dozens and dozens of nesting eagles, and anytime you're out on the river, maybe crossing a bridge, you'll see an eagle on any given day. Now the tributaries of the river, and as Dale was describing those days with the negotiations, and we were sitting around that table in the governor's office, and we finally announced that a compromise had been reached, and Representative Black had quoted from Aldo Leopold, and Dale's talking about being out on the river with Jim Heyer, and Spencer Black's quoted from Leopold and said, "Yet there remains the river, in some places hardly changed since Paul Bunyan's day. At early dawn, one can still hear it singing in the wilderness. Perhaps our grandsons, having never seen a river, will never miss the chance to set a canoe in singing waters." And I like to use that quote because that's why we have the Riverway, so that our grandchildren's grandchildren, perhaps even the seventh generation, will have a chance to set a canoe in the singing waters of the Wisconsin River. And at one of our anniversary events or one of a Riverway recognition event, Spencer Black once said, I'm paraphrasing here, that the Riverway represented one of the greatest recent bipartisan environmental legislation in Wisconsin. And then he paused and said, no, not one of the greatest environmental bipartisan legislative acts in Wisconsin, but one of the greatest bipartisan legislative acts in Wisconsin. I mean, just total bipartisan legislative acts in Wisconsin. And when you look over the last 35 years, can you name one that has been more significant on a bipartisan basis?
And a lot of that was due to him because there was criticism from the left for him sitting down with us, but he had the courage to do that and did it well. And there's one other group that deserves special recognition, and I would be remiss if I left you without mentioning the Lower Wisconsin Friends of the Riverway. Tim Zum is currently the president, and he and that group have done just a remarkable job of building support and thinking up opportunities to utilize the Riverway in an appropriate, thoughtful manner. And it's been a pleasure to get to know him and to see the impact that all those people that he's led to make this Riverway what it is.
We can only wonder, but if we were starting it up today, would we be able to have that same support?
I'm afraid that's not likely, and that's sad. And I think people, as they go to the polls this year, and I won't get any more political than this, that they ought to really sit down and think about who we are, who we want to be, and who we want to be our leaders, because all these things are hard work. Government isn't easy. I know we all laugh about it and shout about it, but if we don't work together and make it something that works for us, it might wind up working against us, and that's something that causes me to stop and think a lot. And I know that, you know, for those people who participated over the years legislatively, Dwayne Johnsrud and Dave Brandemule and Joe Tregoning and Steve Freeze and Cheryl Albers, they all considered this a crowning achievement in their careers, and I think they worked hard, even if they didn't represent part of the Riverway, to be a united Southwestern Wisconsin. And that's what I always loved about my job, is the strong, united, bipartisan front we had here in this area with independent thinkers who didn't need anybody to tell them what to think. If they were given the chance to sit down and work together, they could work it out. And again, kudos to those local officials who sat down and did the job they did.
A crown jewel, that's for sure. And as you look at it, Mark, and Dale talked about it, you know, maybe not being that popular at first, you know, when you were in talks, how long did it go before maybe it became more of a popular thing as we look back on 35 years?
Oh, boy. Well, those early years that Dale mentioned were difficult. The private landowners of Wisconsin, so we had the Plow Group, and then the Friends of the Lower Wisconsin, or FLO. You couldn't have those two groups in the same room because there would have been physical altercation could have happened, but certainly there would have been some intense rhetoric flying back and forth. And I considered that the birth of alternative facts from the Plow Group, because there were some letters to the editor that were filled with misinformation. And so I attempted to try to answer some of those letters to the editor with what I considered to be the truth about the Riverway Law. And all that did was spawn more letters to the editor with more misinformation. And I could see, well, that strategy is not going to work. That's when I began my own personal campaign to try to reach out and touch every single person, every single landowner. I would go to every invitation that was extended to me and speak about what the Riverway Law really was about. Every Lions Club meeting or a Rotary Club meeting, every town board meeting, village, Ladies Aid Society with three people, boy, I'm there and I'm talking about the Riverway and trying to get the facts in people's hands so that when they would read some of these made up stories about the Riverway, they'd be able to look at the person askance. And this really came to a head when we celebrated the 5-year anniversary of the Riverway Project, which I thought was a milestone that deserved recognition. And we had this at the Muscadet Village Hall. And so we had some of the architects of the law there, Dale and Dick Kruel and Spencer Black and some DNR officials. And the Plow Group was there. They had about 75 or 80 people there. And just before we started the meeting, they had congregated outside of the village hall and they were protesting. They're entitled to do that. And they had picket signs that said, "Support the DNR with a rope. DNR, damn near Russia," and all those traditional anti-DNR sayings. And then they carried in a coffin draped in the American flag and did a eulogy to the Constitution. And every time a speaker would get up, they would do a Heil Hitler salute or heckle or try to drown out the speaker. The chief of police at that time called Grant County Sheriff's Department for backup at the Riverway Board meeting, which was interesting to say the least. And that got a lot of press. And so people who had kind of been sympathizers to the Plow movement said, "Hold it. I didn't sign up for this level of crazy." And I think that was when the Plow influence began to ebb and people started looking more carefully. You know, the Riverway really doesn't affect my daily life. And we had shown that the regulations are not onerous. That if you want to do a timber harvest, yes, you have to get a permit. But if you're doing sound forestry management, this really doesn't affect you at all. And it gives you a chance to interact with DNR forestry professionals and gives you a chance for assistance. It doesn't cost you anything. If you're looking to build a house, yeah, you can still build a house. There are certain performance standards that you have to comply with in terms of colorization. And we're here to provide you with that assistance and make sure that you're not trying to build a house where it shouldn't be built in terms of slope and other things. So people recognize that this did not have an impact on their daily lives. And it began to switch over from people who maybe were opposed to it because they didn't have facts to, oh, now I can see why we have this Riverway Law in place. So we're now at the point where 35 years later, the Riverway Board and the Riverway Law has become part of the regulatory landscape that's out there. Just like you have to get a zoning permit or a permit for your septic, it's now recognized as part of what you have to do when you're going to go build a house or get a driveway permit or anything else. It takes time. It takes a lot of individual effort, and it also takes time to build that credibility. And I think part of that is the stability that we've had there with me being in the position, and then also my assistant, Marcia Curtis, who's been with the board since 2001.
Yeah, and again, those leadership of those local officials, listening. I mean, I think I'll corroborate everything that Mark said, but at the same time, there was some serious listening going on, and there were concessions made to make things more palatable, to make it work easier, to show people that things were working. And you know, I mentioned the land values. What does land now bring in Lower Wisconsin? An average of over $6,000 an acre. I think
at least,
you know, 10 times what it was. Now, that didn't happen. A lot of that appreciation occurred because of the joint effort by the inhabitants of the Riverway. And I think the board is going to continue to listen, as will Mark, and hopefully our legislators, to what the people are saying. And if we stick together, I think we can enjoy the fruits of our labor for a long time to come. I'm highly suspicious that there will always be a few people out there who got to stir up trouble, but there's nothing new about that. We see that everywhere. Some people just have to suck lemons and eat prunes all day long, and that's just the way life is. But that's not going to be us. We see a happier future, and we're going to have a smile on our face and link arms and move into the future.
Indeed. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into this, and it's worth celebrating. We'll talk about the upcoming program coming up on Sunday, celebrating the 35th anniversary of the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway. More coming up on The Morning Show.
Chances are you're not hearing this ad while topping 100 in your Aston Martin or taking a spin around town in your Rolls Royce. But if you are, then Donald Trump's tax plan is for you. Just ask him.
You're rich as hell. We're going to give you a tax cut?
But if you're hearing this on your way to work, or school pickup, if you're heading to the grocery store, or wondering how long you can stretch that tank of gas, then your plan is Kamala Harris's plan. She'll make the wealthy and big corporations pay their fair share so she can give the middle class a tax cut, as well as $25,000 for first-time homebuyers, $6,000 for first-time parents, and a $50,000 tax deduction for starting a new business. Because that guy in the Cybertruck that just zoomed by doesn't need another break. But Kamala Harris knows you sure could use one.
Paid for by voters of these 50 states. VotersOfThese50States.com. Voters of these 50 states is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
This is Lynette at the Prescription Center. I am back to talk to you about the new Medicare Part D plans. It is time to review your plan for next year. There have been many changes. Most plans have a beginning deductible. Many also require mail order. Once again, we will help you select a plan which will save you money and allow you to continue to fill your prescription locally. It also may be beneficial to add senior care to your plan. As always, we will guide you through this process at no cost, even if you are not a regular visitor to our store. Stop by and we will find the best option for you. We also have the ability to have all your prescriptions filled on the same day, although I must admit we enjoy seeing our friends more often. We also provide monthly medication management, and as with everything else we do, there is no cost to you. We are an approved provider for Medicare. You are able to obtain your supplies locally at no cost and not depend on mail order. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Tired of counting sheep? Hi, this is Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home. Did you know that one-third of your life is spent sleeping? The 7 to 9 hours we should spend catching Z's helps the body heal itself, activate the immune system, and give your heart a break. Want to sleep on a Wisconsin-made high-quality mattress? Stop down to our new sister company, Bed & Linen, located on Highway 14, Spring Green, and let us show you why we wake up so refreshed.
Hey, Amy, make sure that gas tank is topped off.
Why is that?
Elizabeth Grabe wants to ban gas-powered cars, trucks, and even tractors.
That's insane.
That's not all. Extremists like Elizabeth Grabe are trying to eliminate fossil fuels, too.
That would destroy so many jobs, hurt our community, and drive costs even higher for families.
She doesn't care.
We need to keep Elizabeth Grabe out of the assembly.
I'm voting for Todd Novak. He's an independent voice, always working for us.
Paid for by Novak for Assembly.
Liberal politician Kamala Harris wants to take your guns. She says it herself.
We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
Mandatory buybacks? That's Washington speak for taking away your guns. More from Kamala.
Just because you legally possess a gun in your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible.
Take Kamala at her word. Democrats will ban guns and take them from your home. And here in Wisconsin, congressional candidate Rebecca Cook is following in Kamala's footsteps. Rebecca Cook called for a ban on the most commonly owned rifle in the U.S. She even earned an F from the NRA. As a political operative, Cook spent the last decade working for defund the police Democrats. She'd defund police and take your guns. It's radical and it's dangerous. Liberal Rebecca Cook. She won't protect you. She won't let you protect your family.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
Native American children. Many live in poverty and face some very tough days. But they also have great days. And the days they love most, they happen here at St. Joseph's Indian School.
I love learning with my friends. Playing music.
Lunchtime!
Math. And speaking of math, here are some awesome numbers.
96% of St. Joseph's Indian School students graduate high school. That's 10% higher than the national average. For almost 100 years, St. Joe's has been giving Native American children days they love and educating them for life. Learn more at stjo.org today.
We're talking about the Riverway on the morning show today. In the 35th anniversary, there is a recognition for the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway. That's coming up on Sunday at Wisconsin Riverside Resort near Spring Green. Executive Director Mark Kump is in the building here. Mark, maybe you can give us some of the basics of this coming up on Sunday.
Yes, we're going to be at that beautiful building, Shiflett's Bar and Banquet Hall. Many remember that as Bob's Riverside, just outside of Spring Green, and it started off as just a little bait shop and evolved into a very small little four-stool bar, and grew from there into being a very iconic place, and then over the years was added on, and eventually Terry and Suzanne Shiflett bought it from their family, and then they were going to renovate it, and their architect said, you know, this is going to be a lot easier if you just rebuild it. So that's in the Riverway. And, of course, then they had to go through the permit process, and they were just wonderful to work with as we explained what the performance standards were. And it's right on the river, beautiful view. And so we worked with Terry and Suzanne on the design elements that were necessary to comply with colorization and screening vegetation. And the glass they used was a type of low reflective glass. And so it turned out so beautifully that they added the banquet hall, and we couldn't be more pleased. It's just that great cooperation between private sector and public sector that epitomizes how the Riverway Law was supposed to work. We held the 25th anniversary there, and now here we are, the 35th, and working with the people that own it now that bought it from Terry and Suzanne just a few years ago, Tyler and Mackenzie, and we're delighted to work with Sherry Luther, who is still there with them as their banquet director. And we'll be there at 1 o'clock on Sunday, October 27th. Doors open at 12:30. The program will go from 1 to 2, and then we'll have some refreshments and social time following that. Everyone is invited to attend. The program will feature Spencer Black, Dale Schultz, and former Governor Tommy Thompson, the main architects of the laws we've been discussing here today, as well as some other surprises, and I'll have a few words to say as well. We'll have some fun slides after the main program while people are going through the line to get something to eat, and have a few songs as well during that time. So anyone who has an interest in the Riverway, former Riverway board members, former local officials advisory committee members, citizens advisory committee members, landowners, former and current DNR folks who've worked on the Riverway, anyone who has an interest in the Riverway is welcome to attend. And we would just love to see you there on Sunday, 1 o'clock, Wisconsin Riverside Resort.
Or if you just wore out from the elections and want to celebrate something, come on down. We're not going to get involved in heavy-duty politics. We're there to have a party and celebrate something we can all agree on.
I'm thinking you could almost have it outside. The weather's going to be nice again on Sunday.
It sounds like you're 60 and sunny. If nothing else, you could go look at what the river's like in very low water conditions. There's a big sandbar out there right now.
I know that. Rachel and I used to ride our horses down there on occasion and take them for a swim.
Oh, sure. Take them in the water.
Yeah.
I'm curious of what is the Riverway playlist for you if you're going to be playing some songs?
Yeah. Well, I have to thank former Riverway board chair Don Greenwood, who put together a couple CDs featuring all kinds of river songs. So it's going to have a lot of good songs featuring different river elements in those songs.
Yeah, indeed. It seems like it's every milestone is worth celebrating, but you look back on 35 years, Mark, this is quite an accomplishment to recognize.
Isn't it? Here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking, just in the last 5 years, of course, we had to squeeze in COVID in there that really turned things upside down. But still, just in the last 5 years, we've had the designation of the wetlands in the Riverway as wetlands of international importance under what's known as the Ramsar Convention, which is an international designation. And that was led by the Wisconsin Wetlands Association and the Friends of Lower Wisconsin, or FLOW, science team, the DNR, Riverway Board, and others. It doesn't come with any additional regulatory overhead, but it does indicate that this riverway and this biodiversity that we have is indicative of how important the riverway is. This 92-mile riparian corridor, 100,000 acres, and these wetlands are such an intrinsic part of that. 8 of the 9 criteria necessary or that are part of that designation are met by the Riverway Wetlands, including 2 people that I'm going to mention during my remarks, Mike Hedemark and Arlene Johnson, who have traveled all over the world doing conservation work, who live in the town of Clyde, Iowa County, which is kind of Lone Rock Spring Green area. And they, as private landowners, are participating in this Ramsar designation. So that's just one of the things that has occurred in the Riverway in those last 5 years. That's a big feather in the Riverway cap. Last year, we had that incredible dry period in the middle of summer. We were setting record low flow. And it's hard to do that when we now have all of these dams up and down the river, which are controlled by federal licensing. And during that time, there were mussels getting stranded on low flow. And Gene Unmuth, who's a retired DNR person, was walking the shoreline, and she was kind of looking for artifacts and things below the Prairie du Sac Dam. And she saw all of these mussels stranded. And I was talking to her just randomly, and she mentioned this, and I thought, oh, here's an opportunity for the Flow volunteers to get activated and save mussels, because she was telling me about picking up mussels and throwing them in the water. So that led to Lisi Kitchell, who's the DNR mussel expert, getting involved, and then Ellen Voss from the River Alliance of Wisconsin. And next thing you know, all these volunteers are coming out from everywhere, and we're saving hundreds and then thousands of mussels. And now we have established a network that can be called or emailed, of course, if this happens again, and we're almost on the verge of it now, to rescue all these mussels that are so important for filtering algae and things out of the water. That was another incredible effort that got a lot of media attention and helped educate youth about these little clams in the river that people don't ever think about. And we have so many of these that are endangered and threatened and species of special concern. We've also then developed these trails that are coming along. Down at Boscobel, the Wisconsin River Trail Organization is working to develop trails that they hope to eventually go all the way to Woodman and perhaps further than that. The Driftless Area Land Conservancy working to establish trails on public and private lands. And we just had the one that we talked before we were on the air at Taliesin, and the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation working to establish a new trail at Phoebe Point and the Welsh Hills that are within the Riverway boundary. Another great addition. We're working on the Sauk City Railroad Bridge that will now become a recreational bridge for snowmobiles, bicycles, and pedestrians. An incredible link across the river that'll increase that whole area for all kinds of recreational activities. And my grand vision would be to have a trail that goes from Devil's Lake to Wyalusing, and those pieces are starting to slowly come together. Mm-hmm. All of these exciting things.
Are you telling me that all this effort to save the Lower Wisconsin River is having a positive economic impact and might be the reason why fishing is so good?
Well, I think there was a lot of good things came out of that Wisconsin Act in 31 in 1989, Dale.
Yeah. Well, I was on Lake Wisconsin this past week doing a little fishing with my friend Wally Banfi, who's the assistant manager at the sporting goods store in Sauk, and we were admiring the scenery and saying just what a wonderful day it was. It's just a remarkable, absolutely remarkable resource.
Could you talk a little bit about the perception and the success of the project, the Riverway Board, through the years, Dale?
Well, you know, I oftentimes compare it with the high school here in Richland Center. You remember how controversial that was for, 100 years?
Mm-hmm.
You can't hardly find anybody who is against building that high school now because they've enjoyed it, their kids have enjoyed it, and it's been such an integral part of who we are in our community. You know, I think that's kind of happened to the Lower Wisconsin Riverway. And that's not to say that the people who had frustrations with the high school were all wrong. I mean, a lot of the reason it finally passed was a lot of their wishes were listened to and implemented. And I think the same thing is true of the Lower Wisconsin Riverway. Yeah, there's some negative parts that we all remember that we survived. But I think the larger and more important thing to remember is, hey, we came together, we did something that's great, and we should all be proud of it. And to me, that's a success that's worth celebrating. And, you know, I think there aren't many people left in the Lower Wisconsin River where are complaining. Some people just sort of laugh about it. And we appreciate what we have created together. The work that Mark has done has been nothing short of remarkable, and I think history will treat him personally very, very well.
Maybe a statue. How about that someday?
Well, we don't need to go that far.
No, I don't think so, no. It's not about really.
But he does cut a handsome pose, doesn't he?
Yes, he does, very much so.
Maybe if the Lone Rock still existed, maybe it would have been a good place for a bust of Mark, but since they blew it up to make road gravel out of it. But I guess you're out of luck, Mark.
Right? Well, that's okay. It's not about the personal accolades anyway, but I appreciate the kind words.
You do have a new bridge at Lone Rock as well.
Well, so. I was going to mention that too. You know, one of the real accomplishments that we can look toward is the fact that we didn't plan on this either, Dale, as we come up with this way to have aesthetic treatments on bridges. It's a bridge over the river. What can you do? Well, just with creativity and working with DOT design engineers, we started with the Highway 14 bridge and the colorization and certain aesthetic treatments. And that has evolved now with Highway 23 and now with the new Lone Rock Bridge, the Highway 130 bridge. It's turned out to be such a beautiful bridge. It's hard to see that old steel bridge come down. Many people are like, whew, thank you. Other people are like, oh, I love that bridge. But, you know, that bridge was costing more and more just in maintenance. And so now we have this, what I perceive as a very beautiful new bridge, safe. We got rid of that terrible rock wall at the south end of it. So that's another major accomplishment. We'll be working on finally getting Gotham to Muscadet on Highway 60. That's going to be a major change, but Riverway Board has been involved in that, really my entire career with the Riverway Board. And then County Highway T Bridge between Blue River and Port Andrew. So some of those projects, County Highway C between 14 and 23 in Iowa County across from Spring Green, all these projects we're involved with. Not to be blocking these projects, but just to be making sure they take into consideration the aesthetic components of the bridge, of the road projects as viewed from the river.
I remember when it was really controversial when we were talking about changing the color of the bridge in Spring Green. People said, what are you doing that for? That's a waste of money. Well, it was a beginning. And I think Mark is aptly describing a process that's taken a lot of years. It's going to continue into the future. And it's going to, I think, ultimately give us an American Rhine River with so much to see on the riverway as you go down it. And it's going to make our environment safer and our businesses more productive, more profitable. And I just think that that's just terrific. I remember when we worked with Sauk and Prairie on what the future of the Riverway could be behind their businesses and in developing a park there. And you go there now for Eagle Days, and it is just spectacular. You know, it's the kind of thing you'd see on the Riviera. You know, and the businesses opened themselves back up to the river. Which was the beginning of the communities that we have here in southwestern Wisconsin. And it's just really a delight to go there and see that. And again, it's a result of enlightened local officials, enlightened folks in Madison and the federal government who are willing to work with us, and the skill of, you know, people like Mark and others who, you know, get everybody singing out of the same hymnal.
Mark, we celebrate 35, but I know you're always a forward thinker here. We look ahead. What do you see as the future? We're looking down the road here a little bit.
Well, we're constantly talking about river safety for recreational users, and we had not had a drowning on the river for a few years. Flow has been very important in having the Kids Don't Float kiosk put in most boat landings and maintaining those with free loaner life jackets for everyone. And so because of that recent drowning, who was a person of Hispanic descent who worked at Cardinal Glass, we now have a new partnership that's being established with Cardinal Glass funding much of this. It's still in its infancy. Randy Manning from Spring Green Lions Club is working with me because of my affiliation with Avoca Blue River Muscadet Lions and other Lions Club to establish some initially bilingual signage at access points, and then hopefully we'll expand that into other multilingual safety messaging, and then also working with Cardinal employees on some orientation about river safety. So that's something we constantly are preaching. I do a weekly video report, and I'm always walk upstream on the sandbar, look for drop-offs, wear your life jacket, those kind of messages, and then to try to get that out in a at least a bilingual basis for Spanish-speaking users of the Riverway. We're also going to continue to do our Voyager canoe trips as long as I'm physically able to get out there and do that. We're going to be having my second knee replacement coming up next month, and the first one went well, so I'm hoping to continue to do that. Continuing to work with our archaeological trips and the mounds tours and other things, and I've just started working with a new group called the Cross Currents Heritage Center. I believe you had Ben Moffitt here, and we had our soft opening. I'm the president of the Friends of Cross Currents Heritage Center. In October, we had three events at Tipisaki, just west of Port Andrew. Well attended, such a quality organization, and Bruce and Ben Moffitt were descendants of the original non-native settler there, John Coombe, in 1838. That's going to be a great asset for the Riverway, and particularly in Richland County, but that whole vicinity around Port Andrew, Blue River, fantastic resource for this area. So it's just one thing after another. You never run out of things that are available to do here in the lower Wisconsin Riverway.
If you talk to tourism people, they say these are the kinds of authentic experiences in history that visitors to our area really want to see. And again, a thoughtful, visionary effort, partnership is yielding something that I know we're going to look back on, and maybe we'll be having 35 years of celebrating that group as well.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back in the morning show studios in 35 years, right?
Right.
Something like that.
I always tell people, I hope you live forever and I live longer.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else either you'd like to add this morning here as we wrap up our conversation?
Well, let me wrap it up just the way we start. Thank you to WRCO and all you hardworking folks that make this a community we can be proud of and get me up and get me smiling in the morning.
Thank you, Dale. Mark, good luck with your program on Sunday as well.
Thank you, Phil, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about Riverway 35 years. And once again, congratulations to WRCO on the 75th anniversary. Thank you personally for being part of my daily listening, and particularly on Saturday nights, and all the wonderful sports events that you cover. It makes me happy.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate that. Thanks for listening. 1 o'clock on Sunday at Wisconsin Riverside Resort. Everybody is welcome. And for more information, you can contact Mark Kupp at 608-739-3188.
Wendy's breakfast burrito has an entire breakfast in every bite. Fresh cracked eggs, seasoned potatoes, American cheese, cheese sauce, and sausage or bacon. So the first bite is like fresh sea sausage, cheese sauce. And the second bite is like fresh sea sausage, cheese sauce. You get the idea. And now, get yours with a dollar any size soft drink. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Exclusions apply.
Hi, let me tell you a story about a 10-year-old boy growing up in a small town. His parents were divorced, and the boy lived with his mom, who worked hard to provide. Each day, the boy walked home from school, dropped his books off, then headed next door to help his neighbor in the garden. There, the boy listened as his neighbor told tales of honor and bravery in World War II. It was in that garden where the boy's dreams took root. Dreams of serving his country and farming the land. I'm Tony Kurtz, and that boy was me. I went on to serve 20 years in the U.S. Army and establish my own farm. Today, I'm honored to represent my neighbors in the legislature. I want everyone to be able to pursue the American dream, but I know that dreams don't start in a big building with marble columns. They start in our neighborhoods. That's why I've worked hard to push money out of Madison and back to our communities. I've secured larger investments in roads, schools, and hospitals while cutting taxes and maintaining a balanced budget. On November 5th, I ask for your vote so that we can achieve even more.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.ab